Continuing. And let us never forget that in this period about which Marx writes, there are folks busily implementing the recommendations of Jeremy Bentham and establishing the classical heritage, implementing the recommendations of a number of folk, and this primarily in Germany, France, and England, that Martin Bernal identifies implementing the classical heritage. Martin Bernal says, quote, "By the beginning of the 19th century, Germans were convinced that they were the intellectual instructors of mankind. It was a self-assessment accepted by most, quote-unquote, progressive Europeans and North Americans. German philosophy and education provided a middle way between bankrupt traditions and the French Revolution and atheism. In France, this Germanic trend is best represented by the popular philosopher and politician Victor Cousin, who flourished under the Grand Bourgeois compromise regime of Louis Philippe. Cousin established French primary education on the Prussian model. And like Humboldt, who we learn, this is a little quote within a quote from Bernal, in the wake of the French Revolution, after the humiliation of the traditional government and its beloved army, after their catastrophic defeat by Napoleon at Jena in 1806, the Prussian monarchy turned to Humboldt to undertake reforms. In 1809, among other reforms undertaken to face the French revolutionary challenge, Humboldt was entrusted with the reorganization of the education system. He based the new structure on Bildung, derived from his earlier sketch on the study of antiquity and of the Greeks in particular, which he believed would reanimate the German people after their crushing defeats. And like Humboldt, whom he greatly admired, Cousin greatly admired, he reserved a special place in the whole education system for the ancients and for the Greeks in particular. And that is from Martin Bernal's Black Athena. Black Athena. In what follows from the 18th Brumaire of Louis Bonaparte? Can you count the abstractions that pose as actors? For instance, historical mission, free competition, unchained productive power, economic development, and consider that the second we recognize that the problem is class, poof, those abstractions become obviously propaganda. Obviously so. We automatically get back on the right track by that one thing alone, by recognizing that the problem is class, not capitalism. We have been, and why does it matter? We've been arguing that the segmentation of life into the disciplines or objects of study for the objective mind, and again, this gets back to what we just read from Karl Popper, the fact that that's the point of higher education, to create the illusion of a legitimate set of rulers, because they have been trained in this philosophical education. And it is, in fact, a philosophical education when you segment the world into categories and proceed to establish the rulers, the experts, the supremely knowledgeable in each of them. That's another way of saying the philosophers of those disciplines are the ones entitled to have an opinion on them. We have sat back and deferred our leadership capacities, vested them in those least worthy of them. So that tactic, the elevation of the few, the so-called philosophers, has been the key propagandistic device to use to lure us from the side of life, from our solid ethical stance that demands freedom as a right. Quote from the 18th Brumaire, Camille Desmoulins, Danton, Robespierre, Saint-Just, Napoleon, the heroes as well as the parties and the masses of the old French Revolution performed the task of their time in Roman costume and with Roman phrases, the task of unchaining and setting up modern bourgeois society. This is the historical mission thing I was telling you about. The first ones knocked the feudal basis to pieces and mowed off the feudal heads which had grown on it. The other created inside France the conditions under which alone free competition could be developed, parceled landed property exploited, and the unchained industrial productive power of the nation, that would be you and me, employed. And beyond the French borders, he everywhere swept the feudal institutions away, so far as was necessary to furnish bourgeois society in France with a suitable, up-to-date environment on the European continent. The new social formation, once established, the antediluvian colossi disappeared. Bourgeois society, in its sober reality, had begotten its true interpreters and mouthpieces in the Say's, Cousins, Royer Collards, Benjamin Constance, and Guizot's. Its real military leaders sat behind the office desks, and the hog-headed Louis XVIII was its political chief. Unquote from the opening to the 18th Brumaire.